It's time!
You're listening to Pound for Pound, ringside for all things MMA and boxing on WFUV Sports.
Welcome back to Pound for Pound, WFUV's weekly show breaking down all things combat sports. I'm your host, Andrew Canary, and I'm joined once again by Riley Lucas and Mahdi Dembele. We got a lot to talk about with UFC 289 just hours away, but first, how are you guys doing?
I'll let Mahdi go first with that one.
I'm fine. Always good to talk MMA, guys. Come on, let's get excited for this card. We have Dobronks on this card. I mean, Amanda Nunes is arguably the greatest women's fighter ever. She's back. So I'm really excited. I know there's future cards that we're really pumped for, but we got a good one here today, guys.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure this is the silver lining with all that smoke you guys have up there in New York. I'm luckily in the South right now, so I don't have to worry about that. But I saw those pictures and it looks pretty eerie. So, yikes.
Yeah, no, it's definitely a bit eerie. It looked a little bit hellish outside. I'm not going to lie. We're doing a bit better here, though. So I'm glad once the fights, we're starting to get a little bit closer to them. We got some clean air to actually breathe with them. So we're definitely doing better. But like I said, and like Mahdi said, and Riley, UFC 289 is just hours away, and it features the anticipated return of Amanda Nunes as she takes on a surging contender in Irene Aldana. Slot in the co-main event is another blockbuster fight as Charles Oliveira finally steps back into the cage to take on Iran's very own Beneil Dariush. And there's some other awesome fights for the rest of the night. But just jumping right into it, I do want to touch on the third fight in the main card, which is Mike Malott versus Adam Bucket. I got to be very careful on how I say Adam's last name. I'm not sure if it's Fugit, Fugit, something like that. But despite that,
Fugit. I hope it's Fugit because
yeah.
That's my motto for this fight pick.
PG, yeah. This is a family show, guys.
Yeah, family friendly here. But should be a really fun fight that is going to go down at welterweight. Like I said, it's going to be a third fight or third to last fight in the main card. But how do you guys see this fight panning out? I got my personal viewpoint on it. I think I kind of agree with the bettors here on who's going to win it. But what do you guys see in this?
I mean, I think I could take it. I think I got Mike Malott. I know two fights in the UFC is a pretty small sample size, but both of those fights ended in the first round. He's a great finisher. None of his fights ever went to the decision. And I think the most impressive part of his repertoire is his left hook. I think it's a really, really good left hook. I think that's how he ended one of his fights, if I'm not mistaken. And he has great submission technique. So yeah, I got to give it to Mike Malott. I mean, there's nothing really more to say here for me.
I mean, I said before, you know, 289, I wasn't that excited about. I think I just, after we saw that 291 drop, I just got a little too, my standards were raised. Yeah. So now I'm kind of just, you know, I guess my attitude would be fuck it. No pun intended. Because I'm going for Adam fuck it. I'm going, yeah, this isn't what I would normally do. I want to say, but you know, if it comes down to it, I think if he really pushes the pressure with the wrestling, I think he has a better advantage here. And just statistically speaking, I mean, he has a higher takedown average, a higher takedown defense, and just, I think he brings the fire. So I'm hoping that that fire will continue on here and that he will power over Mike Malott, but you know, it's a little risky for me, but like I said, fuck it. I'm going out of fuck it.
Going for fuck it. Yeah. I think I'm definitely agreeing with Mahdi here in this respect. I guess I'm going against you, Riley. I think Mike, like you said, Mahdi, I think he has some really strong first round finishes, those first two fights in his UFC, and also in Dana White Contender Series, he also got a first round submission too. So he starts off very, very quick in his fights. That's what he's really known for. has nice submission skills and nice left hook. But where I'm kind of worried about him in this fight, I think if he wins it, he gets fucking out of there pretty early, first round, second round. But I'm really interested to see if this fight goes the distance or even later in the third round. I can definitely see Adam working his way back into this fight against a fading Mike Malott. Mm-hmm. I don't know what you guys think, but I think that could be definitely an interesting fast in this fight for somebody that's not really gone the distance in their UFC tenure.
Now, I also do want to add that there is like a 5-inch reach advantage, I believe, Adam Fugit has, which I think will also work in his favor. You know, this is hard for me. It really is. I think that reach advantage will come, and I think the southpaw versus orthodox too might work a little in his favor. But I just think he brings fire. Like I said, he's a tough dude, and he has these higher averages. So I want to say it again. Fuck it.
It's like, I mean, it is something to note, the 5-inch reach advantage, of course. But when a guy has that kind of knockout power, I mean, the guys are going to be hesitant to go in for the takedown. I mean, I know we're not the biggest Conor McGregor guys here, but like, I remember Conor McGregor that dispatched of Jose Aldo in 13 seconds. Like, the dude got fire in his left hand. So whenever you're able to knock a guy out, you always have a puncher's chance, and you always have a puncher's chance to get them out there quick. So I still got Malott, excuse me.
Yeah, so, no, definitely. I think I guess we're all getting on the fucking train here, I guess. But with that being said, though, I do want to highlight one interesting aspect of this fight, and that's that slotted in that third slot in the main card for UFC 289, which is a huge moment for both of these guys. And looking through the rest of this card, you could definitely see some other guys that could have taken the slot, like Dan Ige or even Chris Curtis, guys that are a little bit more proven. But honestly, the way that I take this is it showing that the UFC brass really believes in these two fighters and believes that they can really put on a show that fits UFC 289. So I'm really, really excited to see how that pans out. And hopefully, I think it will be a good fight. So I'm excited to see how it pans out. But moving on. In our co-main slot, I've been waiting for this fight for so long. Sadly, I was not able to see it when it was originally slated to go down in New Jersey, but we finally got a reschedule. It's going on in just a couple hours. Charles Oliveira is finally returning from his injury to take on Beneil Dariush in a number one contender fight at the lightweight division. Whoever wins this fight, unless if something crazy happens, will be fighting Islam Makhachev for the belt next. I'm extremely excited for this fight. I think it's going to be interesting wherever it goes, standing, clinch work, especially on the ground too. I definitely want to touch upon that with you guys. But who do you think wins here, and how do you think this fight pans out?
All right, I'll jump in on this one. I'm going, you know, I have a couple of risky picks this time. I just had the attitude, like I said, 289 didn't excite me, so why not just pull some stuff out and just hope for the best, because I'm going Beneil by decision. I do think that he has been a little overlooked with what he has accomplished in the UFC. And I think that although Charles does have the better striking, I think, you know, Benny is better with the grappling. And I just really think that nobody's as hungry as him, I would say. And I would really like to see him fight for that championship. I would. You know, I just feel like he's deserving. I feel like it's time. And I also just don't like Charles Oliveira. You know, I know they're both BJJ guys. You know, they both have the jiu-jitsu base in them, which isn't, I know, you know, Dariush is, you know, he's a striker, but he's ultimately a jiu-jitsu guy. And you know how I feel about the BJJ, but between the two, if you really look, you know, Beneil is the more accomplished BJJ guy out of these guys. So I'm kind of going for him. I think his grappling credentials will carry him through. And then he also has a 30% better takedown defense. So I just think statistically, I'm also pulling for him. And I just don't like Charles Oliveira. I know that's controversial. I could see the looks on your faces. So I'm excited to hear what you guys have to say. But ultimately, I'm pulling Beneil.
That is so controversial. I cannot believe you're just coming out and saying this. Really. You're going to get so many people in your DMs just being like, what are you talking about with Oliveira? Everybody loves him. Maybe you can explain your viewpoint a little bit more. But actually, though, I do agree with you in this fight. I think Beneil Dariush is going to get the win here. Which I don't know if you guys were going to expect me to come out and say that, but I'm a huge Beneil Dariush fan, and I agree with you. I think he's better on the ground. I think he has more experience striking. I think definitely Oliveira packs a bit more of a punch in his strikes. I mean, you can hear Justin Gaethje talk about it and all the guys that he's fought prior saying, like, yeah, he hits like a Mack truck. But with that being said, though, I think Dariush is just more technical on the feet as well. So I think wherever this fight goes, I think Dariush is just a little bit better technically, and that will pave the way for Oliveira to kind of lose it later in the fight when he's a little bit more gassed out and can't rely on his physical abilities. But Mahdi, what do you think?
Well, okay. Wow, I did not expect that. Well, before I get to my pick, I want to say some argue that this fight is in fact the fight of the night, right? These are one of the best, it's one of the best fights throughout the entire year. It's two fighters that are ranked in the top five, and they're two technical guys with elite grappling and improved striking. For me, I'm going to have to go against the grain and say I like Dubronx for this fight. I mean, where Dariush brings efficiency, Dubronx brings like variety. His notable wins include guys like Dustin Poirier, Justin Gaethje, Michael Chandler, El Kukui, Kevin Lee's in there. And I mean, his repertoire is so wide. Boxing with a Chris jab, and he has a capable right hand. His left hook is insane. He has a variety of takedown techniques. I know Dariush is probably better on the ground, but Oliveira with his signature like belly-to-belly slam, it's just something else. And he's skilled in getting onto people's backs. Dustin Poirier could probably tell you about that. And unlike a lot of guys, he's not as free to stand in the middle of the circle and really fight. You see a lot of guys, they tend to move back when they're in trouble. That's not Oliveira. In fact, he tends to move forward. He's a very unique fighter, very, very unique fighter. And to Dariush's credit, he proved that he has fantastic takedown defense. I don't know if anybody saw that Gamrot fight, but he hit him with a huge overhand and Gamrot tried to get him on the ground and he proved that he had good defense. But I got to give it to Oliveira. I just like his variety. I think this is his redemption story back to taking the belt away from Islam, potentially.
I mean, I do love to see a good redemption story, just not for him. And no, but I'm sorry. But, you know, it's just a little personal, I guess. But also, I will say that the fact that this fight is three rounds as opposed to five, I think, if anything, will work in Charles' favor. That's the only concern I really do have with this fight. Is that three rounds is going to come in handy. I'm not happy about that. I wish it was a five-round fight. And then on top of that, you know, Beneil is 5-0 in his last five, which is a positive. But in the same breath, you know, we see a pattern. There's always, you know, you can only be undefeated for so long. Yep. So I'm just hoping that doesn't end here.
Yeah. And that's definitely been the story with Beneil Dariush. He's always been a guy that has been like a 5-5 win streak, a 4-5 win streak, working up his way up the lightweight rankings. And he'll come up against a guy like Alexander Hernandez or Edson Barboza that just knocks him out in the first round, sends him way back down the rankings, and then he's back at square one. So this is definitely a big moment for Dariush, and also a big moment when you think about that he doesn't really have that massive of a following, especially compared to a guy like Charles Oliveira, who everyone loves apparently, I guess, for Riley, yeah. Or except for Riley. But with that being said, though, I can definitely see if Dariush doesn't win this, him being sent back to effectively the shadow realm of the lightweight division, which is so hard to get back from.
Yeah.
But another thing, though, that I do want to touch upon before moving past this fight and talking about Amanda Nunes in the main event is that, Mahdi, you said that Oliveira is a very, very unique fighter. And I definitely agree with that. I've never seen really anybody do the types of thing that he's done. But one of the most unique things that I've seen in his fight is just his readiness to get dropped, which... That might sound like a dig at him, but wait for me to explain it. So you can see in the Michael Chandler fight, Dustin Poirier fight, Gaethje fight, he'll always get dropped once or twice, and it doesn't look like the hardest strike at all. But honestly, what I think people think that he's doing and what he said after is like, I'll get hit with a semi-hard strike, go to the ground, recover, and then let them come into kind of my world with the whole jiu-jitsu, and then really grind them out there. What I can see, though, this going bad, or where I can see this going bad, though, in this fight, is I imagine Dariush is going to hit him with a hard strike. Oliveira is going to do his classic just drop down, kind of like teasing him to get into the guard. But the thing that's different between all the people that Oliveira has fought in the past versus Dariush is that Dariush is so strong on the ground, I think he's just going to accept that willingly and just grind out the rest of the round. So I think that's something definitely interesting, and I'm excited to see how Oliveira really adjusts to that. Somebody that's as threatening on the ground as the feet, which is something that I feel like he hasn't really experienced yet at the very top rungs of lightweight. So could be interesting. But moving on, though, actually, hold on. Last picks, though. I got Dariush, Riley. Dariush, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
And then Mahdi, definitely. Do Bronx. I could definitely, well, I mean, I don't know which way it's going to pan out. I'm definitely excited for it, though. But moving on, though, to the main event, we got Amanda Nunes finally defending her belt against another new contender. It was a bit of a a bit of the whole Nunes-Pena saga there for a moment, where Pena won the belt against Nunes. She ended up getting it back. That third fight, the trilogy fight, was supposed to be the one that's going on tonight.
I do want to add, I'm very happy that the trilogy didn't continue tonight. I'm happy for something new. I was kind of over it. Yeah. I'm not going to lie. I don't know if that's controversial. I don't know if that's a bad opinion, but I was so sick of it. And
I agree with you a little bit. Honestly, like, normally... I'm a big fan of trilogy fights, honestly. Like, I mean, when they pan out so well. Yeah. Like, I mean, there's some of the best storylines that we could see in combat sports. But with that,
Alex Pereira was great. That was the Alex Pereira Izzy. That was great. But, like, I'm over it with this one.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. I think we've seen too many of them in the UFC at this point. Like, we had Usman versus Edwards. We had Izzy versus Pereira. We had Brano versus Figueiredo. It's like so many trilogies at this point where I just want to see new fighters. And that's finally what we're getting. Juliana Pena had to pull out of this fight due to, I believe, breaking her rib, some type of injury. But with that being said, though, Amanda Nunes is now taking on a new contender in Irene Aldana, which would be very, very exciting. And honestly, I don't think it changes the outcome too much based on who Amanda Nunes is fighting, but I'm interested to hear what you guys got to say about it.
I want to hear Madi go first because I see this look in his eyes and I'm ready for a world.
What I will say, first of all, a big year for Mexican fighters, guys. Like, currently, I believe there's three Mexican fighters, like Moreno, Alexa Grasso, Yair Rodriguez is obviously interim. But Irene Aldana says that, and she's ranked fifth. She says that she wants to be the fourth one on that list. She has a 14-6 MMA record, 8 wins by knockout, 9 first-round finishes. 9 first-round finishes. Chris Boxer. She has a fantastic left hand. She has a fighter spirit. And she's been at the top five, I want to say, since 2019. And in much in a way, like I talk about, like Gilbert Burns, she has like champion written all over. I don't know what it is about her. I don't know if you saw her last fight against Macy Chiasson. Excuse me if I mispronounce her name, but she was in trouble, and then she ended the fight with like an upkick body shot to the liver. It was something so ridiculous, and that's only like a champion has inside of them. I know that Amanda Nunes comes from like this long line of like UFC champions. Like, we had Ronda Rousey and then Holly Holm. Misha Tate was in there. Nunes comes onto the scene, Juliana Pena Nunes. But this could very much play out the way that Ronda Rousey and the Amanda Nunes saga played out, because when Ronda Rousey was coming back to the UFC, it was this huge, massive thing. And they originally had, I wanted to say, Holly Holm lined up, but then Misha Tate beat her, and then Amanda Nunes beat Misha Tate. So then all they had was Ronda Rousey's coming back. I could see this fight ending up the same way. So, I mean, I'll agree with you. I'll say that Amanda Nunes retains it because she's just so dominant and far past anyone. But I wouldn't be surprised if Irene Aldana gets her out of there.
I mean, that's a solid point that I didn't even think about, to be quite honest. Like, we have seen that before. So I'll give you that, Madi. I don't give you a lot, but I'll give you that one. That is a solid point. But still, I'm pretty confident in Nunes. I think it's a lock for me. I think she's obviously undeniably the GOAT for female UFC fighters. I just think that's inevitable. And I think the thing about Amanda Nunes is she can wrestle, she can strike, she can, you know, she has this amazing power. She's really good in every category. She's solid. She's 13 knockouts, a 69-inch reach. She's a striker. I love to watch her fight. The only concern I do have is kind of just, for me, it goes back to how badly does she still want it? Because I think, you know, when she trains, she has impeccable cardio. She's on it. She's great. But, you know, now she's rich. She's famous. She settled down a little more. She is a mother. It kind of goes a little back to what you said, Madi, you know, how much has her star power, how long is it going to last? Is she tired? Is she still have that hunger that she had? Because that's my only concern. If she's not training as hard as normal, she's a little comfortable with her status. Because I think Irene's very hungry, you know, she wants this more than anyone. But going back, I still think Nunes, it's a lock. I think she has a higher takedown defense, higher takedown accuracy too, I believe. Higher striking defense. I mean, just on paper, if you just look at it, she's she's the solid pick. I think she's minus 320. And I know a lot of times it do go against the grain in terms of betting. And not to hype myself up, it has worked out in my favor a lot. But this time I'm going simple. I think it's Nunez.
Sure.
No, definitely. I think I agree with you guys there. I think Nunez is just better in every aspect. And the most, you know, prominent one there being is the physical aspect. I mean, she just packs so much punch in all of her punches and all of her strikes. We've just seen her take out a murderer's row of just, you know, the top woman in combat sports. I mean, literally, you look at all of the prior UFC bantamweight champions she's beaten, which is crazy to think about. But Riley, you did say something earlier that kind of I was thinking about on once you've reached the pinnacle, once you're that GOAT, where do you go from there? And if you still have that motivation to keep going, it reminds me of a Marvin Hagler quote. It's hard to get up at 6 a.m. when you're wearing silk pajamas and run those miles. So, it's definitely something that it's very interesting. And also, Monty, what you're saying, too, where it kind of goes back to Amanda Nunes versus Ronda Rousey, where Ronda Rousey was just the whole storyline was, hey, she's back. I'm pretty sure back in the day when they were promoting that, I don't even think they showed Amanda Nunes on the posters. It was just Ronda is back and it's just Ronda Rousey. It's crazy. So with all that being said, the motivation and honestly, Aldana just being completely overshadowed, I can really see a underdog storyline here, especially going back to, again, Madi, what you were saying with some of her finishes, like her finish over Macy Chastone, that just liver kick off the ground. It's something like that, just like the intangible strikes that you can just make up on the fly like that is something that I think that you really need to beat Nunes along with a really solid game plan. And we've seen especially other Mexican fighters come in with fantastic game plans, like a Moreno, just able to figure out Figueiredo and just win that, you know, quadrilogy, I guess, if you want to say it. Or like Alexa Grasso, who came in with a fantastic game plan to deal with Valentina Shevchenko and bumped another goat, you know, off of the, the women's Mount Rushmore of goats, I guess, if you want to say that. But honestly, just going back to it, I think Amanda Nunes got this, but I'm not as sure as I was. I would say I'm not as sure as I guess I would say when she fought like Juliana Pena.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, at the end of the day, for this card, I don't really think I'm going to be putting money on any of these fights.
Yeah.
Because even the ones that I feel I'm confident in, I still have a little shed of doubt inside because there's a lot of good, not only, you know, odds, but good storylines that could come out. Like, I feel like you made a good point with Irene. Like, how crazy would that be if she kind of just came in here and won and beat Amanda Nunes? It is that Ronda Rousey effect, like you said, Madi. And I just feel like that's kind of a lot of these fights have, like, a very good storyline. I mean, with Beneil, like, how incredible. I would love to see him get a title shot. And then also on the other end, a lot of people want to see Charles Oliveira kind of regain his legacy in a way. So I just don't think I'll be putting money on any of these fights, even down to like Dan Ige and prelims. I'm just gonna step back just to watch it and hope for the best. Just get ready for 291. That's where I'm very excited, but we'll see what happens. I mean, it's still a decent card.
Yeah, 291 is gonna be awesome. But as for this card, Anthony Smith said it best when talking about the Oliveira fight. This is gonna be a card full of fireworks. I don't think any of these fights are going to be one-sided, even the ones that we didn't talk about. And they're definitely going to be some of the fights that we look back on and say it could have easily gone the other way, whether it was one punch here by one fighter or maybe a decision by a judge. This card is going to be very, very close. And I can see either fighter in each fight take it home. I think it's going to be a very good card and we should just watch it tentatively because we could get some fireworks.
Yeah, no, I'm definitely very excited. And I think, it's going to be a nice semi-big card as we finally ramp up to International Fight Week, which is happening, I believe, at the end of July, which should be really, really fun. We have UFC 291, UFC 290 coming up. But with that being said, though, I'm very, very excited for this card. I cannot wait. So I think that'll do for this installment of Pound for Pound. Make sure to check out the fights tonight. And of course, our breakdown and recap of all the fights next week. Have a fantastic weekend. Enjoy the fights. And we will see you.